Good morning. My name is Michelle McLeod, and I want to welcome you to our show, Mornings with Michelle. We're up in Fallbrook, California, North San Diego County, the avocado capital of the world, the gardening capital of the world, and the succulent capital of the world. Well, at least my world. It's about 11 o'clock on Friday morning, March 11th. And the topic today that I want to talk about is how to collect rainwater. Because it's funny, we've been talking about the drought for how long? For months? We're not out of the drought. We're not even close to it. But we are getting gift of rain tonight. So let's talk about how we can collect some of that rainwater. We know that the drought's a problem, an ongoing problem, and it isn't going to be fixed with one storm that comes through. But a little, if everybody helps a little bit, maybe we can work that way. Population growth. We know we've got so much population growth going on in Southern California and not enough water to sustain it. So what do? A couple things. We can wish for more rain. We can buy a snake oil remedy like Burt Lancaster did in The Rainmaker with Katharine Hepburn. It's an old movie. It was funny. We can make fresh water from salt water through osmosis. Another one is we can design a rain collection system. They're doing that in some of the new homes in Santa Monica and maybe in Chula Vista. People are starting to understand that we've got a resource that we can use. It makes me sort of think back to solar. Remember when solar was a dream? I mean, it was way out there. Nobody thought you could actually collect solar rays and turn them through an inverter and put them into a battery and actually use the energy. We're starting to be able to do that with rainwater. Let's think about it. It kind of takes me back. When I was a child, my mother, we had a washer and a dryer, like everybody did in the 60s. There was a big sink in between the washer and the dryer. And she would collect the rinse water from the washing machine in the sink and reuse it. She would actually take buckets, and you had to put the plug in after the wash water went through, put the plug in, collect the rinse water, and actually take buckets to move the water from one side into the washing machine. I can't tell you where she got that sort of thought, but she was a child, I assume, of the recession. But I have to give it to her. It's something, it was tedious, but it was just done, and she didn't complain about it. You didn't waste anything, I think, when you were a child of the recession. And I think things have changed a bit. Today, when I see a younger person throwing, it doesn't have to be a younger kid, it can be people my age, but when I see them throwing things away that should be recycled or reused or repurposed, I try to hold my tongue. Sometimes I can't. When I ask them, doesn't that need to be recycled? And they say, well, I don't have to recycle. My response is, honestly, to what planet do you think you'll be moving when we run out of natural resources here? Would that be Pluto or Uranus? So this is where my kids usually tell me to grow up. Anyway, so moving on, growing up. Last week I talked about discussing topics that were out of our comfort zone. Today, let's talk about how to collect rainwater. They call it harvesting rainwater. I call it collecting. And before we get into that, I want to talk about some really cool things that are happening right now. Wildflower blooms. Right now, Death Valley is going through an incredible bloom. It's absolutely happening right now. It's called a super bloom, and it's because it had heavy rains in October, and it's the biggest bloom they've had in 10 years. It's an amazing sight. It's Mother Nature at her best. And picture this. When you see absolutely parched desert image, you see a cracked desert floor that truly looks like Death Valley. It is Death Valley, but it looks like death. And then from between these little cracks, from the interstices, right between these cracks, grow these ephemeral, beautiful blossoms. Just, they're graceful, they're delicate. It's, I don't know if it's a simile or a metaphor, but it's like hope has conquered. It's just an amazing sight. So go, if you can, go up to Death Valley. Another place is Anza Borrego. They're also having an incredible wildflower bloom right now. The Borrego Desert Nature Center at 652 Palm Canyon Drive is a great place. You can start there. Okay, enough of that stuff. Let's talk about rainwater harvesting. Why should I collect rainwater? Again, rainwater can be used for just about anything from watering plants to flushing toilets, all non-potable uses. Again, when I was little, I didn't know what potable meant. You used to see the signs on the golf courses that said non-potable water used only. Potable water is drinkable. Non-potable is anything that's not drinkable. Okay, in urban environments, most rainwater is lost. Think of a landscape not a city, in a non-urban area, think of the crust as a sponge, and about 50% of water re-enters the groundwater, gets recharged. In a city, you might get 15% of stormwater. The rest either runs off or evaporates. Some interesting facts: a 2,500 square foot roof can actually harvest about 1,500 gallons of water from 1 inch of rainfall. So I live in a house that's about 2,200 square feet. For a quarter inch of rain on a 2,200 square foot house, I can get over 300 gallons off my roof. Okay, some ideas to collect rainwater. Rainwater systems, the collection systems can range from a 5-gallon bucket to 55-gallon drums to trash cans. You can do it any which way you want. It can go even as big as a 12-foot by 8-foot industrial cistern. At my house, I have a very simplistic system. I didn't have to MacGyver anything or ask my husband for help. I just unscrewed a couple of screws from the downspout, took it off, and stuck a trash can under the spout. So if I can do it, you can do it. Couple things, the water is, it will get bugs and things in it after a while. My dogs drink out of my water, so who knows what gets in there. You definitely don't want to drink it. You don't want to drink it, but you can use it for watering, or we've even used it to flush a toilet if in the incoming water in the house has been turned off for plumbing purposes. Some of the cities now are really getting into allowing and encouraging residents to collect water. Albuquerque's Water Authority has begun an initiative to install free rainwater catchment systems to see how much they can save. Tucson, San Diego, Austin, Seattle, and the Metropolitan Water District in LA have rebate programs for rainwater catchment installation systems, or also an incentive for rainwater harvesting. And some cities have really gotten it going. Santa Monica, for instance, requires the new construction to catch rainwater and reuse it on site in their building codes. I think that's wonderful. San Francisco is requiring large buildings and their commercial developments to use recycled water for irrigation and toilet flushing. And when you sit back and think about it, is there any bigger waste of water than flushing a toilet? Most ambitious of all, Los Angeles is developing a plan to harvest rainwater on a huge scale by installing cisterns and massive basins around the San Fernando Valley. So the cities are getting it. They understand we need to collect rainwater. We can do it at home. You can do it at home with things you have laying around the house. All you need is a 5-gallon bucket or even a trash can. Although, here's a clue. I've tried to collect it on 3 trash cans at home, a little bit older, each of which has holes in the bottom. So be sure that you don't have a hole in the bottom of your trash can, because they do split as they get older. So I think the end of this is you don't have to wish for rain. You don't have to buy snake oil remedies. You just have to find something around your house that you can actually use to collect the rainwater. And I'll tell you what, you do it a couple times, it's really cool to be able to take a bucket, dip it into the trash can, and go put it on one of your plants. It just makes you feel good. It makes me feel good. Okay, couple of other things. Out in the desert, there is a Thousand Palms Oasis Preserve. Is a place you should go visit. It's a beautiful oasis on the northern side of the Coachella Valley. It's about 800 acres, and there's something you can do there that I don't know where else you can do it, but you can put 1 foot on the North American tectonic plate and 1 foot on the Pacific tectonic plate at the same time. So it's got a fault line that's crazy, and it's definitely worth seeing. It's located at 29200 Thousand Palms Canyon Road, Thousand Palms, California. In closing, we've got some upcoming events I want to just talk about. The San Diego Hort Society has a monthly meeting at the Del Mar Fairgrounds, and they're going to be talking about 100 years of zoological horticulture at the San Diego Zoo. It's March 14th, Monday night. It's definitely worth attending, because the Zoological Society has phenomenal horticulture. I mean, it's 100 years of just incredible plants at the zoo. Also, the Borrego Garden Tour, the 18th annual tour, is on March 19th. That one would be worth seeing as well. Next week's topics, we're going to talk about homeowner associations and the design process for the homeowners themselves. Some of the problems of vagaries within each type of organization, the design committee, the management company, you know, who does what, who's in charge. Will they allow use of artificial turf and some design ramifications? Also, we want to talk about the term gravel. It's used very loosely. It means lots of different things, and I think next week we'll hone it down and really get to the bottom of it. Visit us at southwestboulder.com, find us on Facebook, or you'll see Howes. They're great resources. We look forward to getting together next Friday morning at 11. Have a great weekend, and see you next Friday.